What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We are back. I am at Farley Betts on Twitter, professional sports bettor now for 5 years and running, a winner in the circuit contest in 2021, over 125 units won in the NBA and NFL in the past 4 seasons. And we haven't done this podcast in a little while. Took a little hiatus there, as most of my audience and my followers probably already know. The busy lives that we all lead, podcasting just wasn't one of my priorities, but I would like to make it one of my priorities again as we lead into the NFL season. Had a great audience when we were doing this podcast on a regular basis before. I think you will enjoy it if you start listening in every single week, because we've tried a lot of things the past few months when we had a little hiatus. We were thinking about maybe doing a tiny little podcast every day of the week, maybe 3 podcasts a week, but a little bit shorter form. Just all kinds of different ideas. You know, I tried to go live a few times. And as you know, right, and as many of you know, because you're probably in the same age bracket as me, like the 35 to 45 years, I'm 38. They're probably the busiest time of your life, right? Especially if you have kids. We just had a little baby girl. She's over a year old now. Things don't get any less busy. That's for sure. If you follow me or if you know me at all, maybe you see me on the BetUS NBA show twice a week. That's another gig where you might have caught me talking about the NBA, or maybe you saw me on VSiN talking about the NFL or NBA. Then you also know that I have a 9-to-5 job, multiple jobs in the betting industry. So things are always busy. But what I would like to be doing more than anything is podcasting. I love to podcast. I love to create these episodes and get my thoughts and opinions and philosophies out there to all of you, and you know, to have that back and forth with my audience as well, right? So you can always send me questions, DM me at Farley Betts if you have any betting questions, especially in the NBA and the NFL. We'll probably mix in a little tennis and WNBA this summer as well. I always bet the UFC, so maybe a big UFC event we could talk about in this podcast. But for now, and moving forward now for the foreseeable future, I'm going to still have 1 podcast a week. Longer form podcast. Today's episode will probably be 20 to 30 minutes, but I'm going to start going longer form. And until the start of the NFL season, we're going to just start talking about these NFL teams and dissecting these NFL programs and the new players that they have and what their schedules look like and what we think is going to happen this season in the zany, crazy, volatile, but highly entertaining National Football League. Believe it or not, I mean, I don't know about you, but once the draft is over and now the NBA season is coming to a close, NHL is coming to a close, like the summer goes by so fast. So it feels like we are in early NFL season because, you know, training camp and like voluntary workouts, you know, all that stuff is starting, right? You know, training camp isn't for a while, but the voluntary practices are starting. You know, you're hearing more from these teams. And that's exciting. I mean, I love the NFL, as you know. That's been our biggest cash cow overall because we won in Circa. But we also tend to win a lot every season. We've always had winning seasons, some greater than others. But in this crazy game, this very difficult game of sports betting, you have to have strategy, right? And you have to kind of have your own approach. And your own life has to be in order. That's a huge part of this, guys and girls. Is how healthy are you? How much space do you have to look into these games every single day, every single week? Because if you don't have the space in your life, if you're not conducting things healthy for yourself, eating, sleeping, working out, socially, emotionally, the odds are your decisions are not going to be the best, right? You're not going to make, or you're not going to have the best perceptions, because your perception is going to be a little off because you're not taking care of yourself the right way, right? So it's all about taking care of yourself. It's all about the strategies that we try to employ from legendary handicappers that we learn from. I mean, I think that's why I've had some success, because I've learned from some of the best minds in this industry. Guys like Las Vegas Chris, Kyle Hunter, Kiev O'Neill, You know, you name it. It keeps on going and going. Tony, a lot of guys in the betting industry who I learned from, and it's a challenge, right? But for today, we're going to be talking about these NBA Eastern and Western Conference Finals, a little Eastern and Western Conference preview from yours truly. Throughout the summer, and as we talk about the NFL more and lead up into the NFL season with our own preparation, which I didn't get to do as much last year, having a little newborn baby, but I'm excited to do more of it this year, get back to my norm, and I'll just be sharing those insights with you, sharing my opinions, sharing my predictions, sharing my future bets, maybe even my week five bets on DraftKings that could be in right now because those lines are out, right? So we'll be talking more and more NFL, and I will have some guests on my show leading up into the NFL season. And I tried to do this last year. It wasn't great timing for me with the baby. It wasn't great timing for a lot of the folks that I was reaching out to, but I would really like to get a roundtable NFL discussion podcast going this season. And we'll see who we can bring together for that. I have some exciting prospects. More to come on that. All right, a lot of talking at the start of this podcast. So let's get to the actual content. Let's talk about the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference NBA playoffs. The NBA Eastern Conference and Western Conference Finals. Let's start with the 76ers. Let's start with the Boston Celtics and the Indiana Pacers. Maybe I thought the 76ers would be here, but that is not the case, right? The Knicks took out the 76ers. I thought it was going to be the Knicks. Pacers take out the Knicks. Surprise, surprise, surprise. But I think we all knew that the Celtics were going to be here, right? But as much as we might have known or at least predicted that the Celtics would be here, I'd like to start off talking about this. As far as coaching goes, I'm going to give the nod to Rick Carlisle. I mean, Joe Mazzulla, like I'm sure he's a pretty good coach. There's some weird stories about him back in college and just maybe a little bit narcissistic, egotistical. I don't know how much to read into that, but he's obviously inherited a fantastic roster, right? So it's just hard for Boston to lose with all the talent that they have. And now Kristaps Porzingis is going to be coming back soon. I think by game three is what they said. I don't know if that's changed at all. I haven't seen any change in that. But when Kristaps comes back, right? I mean, that's going to be a huge difference maker because I really do think that the Pacers can keep pace with the Boston Celtics for much of this series. But Kristaps and his length and his shooting ability really kind of tips the scales in their favor. But going back to the coaches, Rick Carlisle has done such a fantastic job with the Indiana Pacers. I mean, if you look at the way that they showed up in Game 7 against the Knicks, and some of that is really hard to predict, right? They were shooting 70% from beyond the arc and 80% from the floor when that first half was ending. And like that's what the data said in the final 3 to 4 minutes of the end of the first half. I don't know how it ended in the first half, but that's absurd, right? Like that doesn't happen. But at least part of it is because Rick Carlisle is a damn good coach and obviously had his boys prepared, aggressive, because they came out and they looked fantastic. I mean, obviously, the team itself is equipped with so many great shooters, great scoring talent, you know, from Miles Turner to the pickup of Pascal Siakam, obviously to, you know, Tyrese Haliburton, who earned his first all-star appearance this year, right? But their whole roster, really, you know, guys who can shoot, guys who can score, Naismith, Nembhard. I mean, TJ McConnell comes off the bench and he's like a little spark plug. I mean, he's, you know, never afraid. He was 6 for 8 in that game. Big difference maker at a few inflection points in that game too, where it looked like maybe the Knicks would come back. OB Toppin taking it to his former team. Excuse my alarm there. OB Toppin taking it to his former team, really the whole series. What a team that Rick Carlisle has put together, and they clearly have a lot of team chemistry. I don't care how many players on the Knicks were injured, to go into Madison Square Garden like that, it's, you know, with that kind of atmosphere, that hostile atmosphere, and to perform at that high of a level, you know, 70 points in the first half, it is just remarkable. And they're playing some defense too, folks, right? Like, this isn't a great defense, but they're playing some defense. And the thing to remember about this series, so, you know, starting with the coaches, I'm going to give Rick Carlisle the edge. I think the team is more united. And just the coaching job in general is more prominent with Indiana. You know, with Joe Mazzulla, it's a big question mark for me. I'm not sure how much I can trust the guy. I'm not sure that he's a big part of it. But if we move into the matchup between these two teams, we got to remember that Indiana was the only offense really all season that was comparable to the Boston Celtics. Number one and number two. And at certain points of the season, Indiana was number one. Boston was not. But Indiana, even before Pascal Siakam, even before they picked him up, what, in late January, February, they were still one of the top offenses in the NBA. Number one at certain points, number two, number three, a top five at the very least. So this is a team that knows how to score. They move very fast. They, you know, they like to play their small ball. And Boston is more physical. They're bigger, but they're not as fast, right? Like they're a little more like the Knicks. Now they're more talented than the Knicks. They have better shooting talent. You know, that's for sure. When you got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Derek White, who, if the Celtics make it to the finals and win, Derek White could be the MVP, guys. I mean, that kid, I'm going to call him a kid. He's bald now. You know, kind of looks like Socrates out there, but Derek Smith, I mean, or Derek White, he's a great player. I mean, he just knows how to step up. He kind of has that Jalen Brunson ability in the clutch too. You'll just always see him in those moments step up for his team, you know, but that being said, we haven't even talked about Al Horford, right? Who I know he's getting older now, but Al's still going to nail some shots out there. He's still going to be a difference maker on defense and rebounds. You know, you still got Drew Holiday, who's been on so many elite teams, elite defense. Sam Hauser can come off the bench and nail a bunch of threes. So can Luke Kornet. Kornet, very physical guy. These white dudes in the Celtics, right? Kind of bringing back the Larry Bird era. Bruce Pritchard comes off the bench and is another spark plug, kind of the TJ McConnell for the Celtics. And they haven't even played a good amount of their bench. You know, guys like Brissett, Tillman. I mean, they got some other guys who maybe they mix in, right? But when Kristaps comes back, this is just a superior starting five, a superior front eight. And the Pacers are going to have a hard time. But that said, guys, I don't think the Pacers should be at plus money at plus 2.5. In the series, plus 2.5, you can get around plus 120, plus 115 at most sports books now. Shop around for that a little bit. I haven't had time to shop around a bunch before this show because that's how life is. But when I was looking at FanDuel, let's see, the series right now is plus 118, plus 2.5 on Indiana. I think that has some value because it's going to be hard to predict the games that Indiana wins, right? Like, you maybe when you want to predict them winning at home, but you saw the way that they came out of Madison Square Garden. You see the way the Celtics played now in two straight series in game two. Not very good after a great start in game one. So maybe you'll look at a game two bet on the Pacers. Like, these are all understandable approaches, but the Pacers are going to be by far the biggest challenge that the Celtics have had in these playoffs because they faced a weakened, injured, no Jimmy Butler, no Terry Rozier version of the Heat. And then they faced the Cavs without Donovan Mitchell at a certain point, without Jared Allen for the whole series. You know, the injury bug was hitting them as well. This is a completely healthy, completely energized, game-ready Indiana Pacers team who almost won the in-season tournament, right? Like, they play well in these situations. We've seen it. We saw them crush the Bucks in that in-season tournament when the Bucks were healthy, when the Bucks were looking better. So I think Indiana definitely takes two games in this. I wouldn't blame you if you took an exact correct score of Celtics 4-3 or Celtics 4-2. Looking at FanDuel, Celtics 4-2 is plus 410 and 4-3 is plus 500. You put half a unit on both of those and you're going to do well if one of those hit. But, you know, I wouldn't be looking at a dominant Celtics series here because they lack killer instinct. And again, this isn't like I'm not spitting statistics at you or data. All the data is out there, right? Like go to teamrankings.com, you know, go to ESPN, go to NBA Advanced Stats, and you'll see all the same stats that we've been talking about all damn season. But what separates teams at this time of year are the intangibles. And Boston, to me, lacks intangibles. They lack that killer instinct. Usually it takes a game three after blowing game two for them to come out on fire, for them to come out mad and aggressive. Then you see that killer instinct a little bit. I don't see that killer instinct game to game. If anything, I think it was a great comparison. I think Charles Barkley made this comparison on TNT during their series against the Cavs when he said the Celtics play like they're one of the elite teams in March Madness who is just waiting to just roll over and waltz through a game against like a low, you know, like a 16th seed. You know, like they're not impressed by their opponent so far. But if they continue to have that mentality against the Pacers, a team that they are very well positioned against, sure, but the odds makers and everybody again is kind of underestimating what Indiana can do here. So Boston could be underestimating it too. Indiana is going to win two games in this series. I'm pretty sure of that. I feel strongly about that. So I would look at those sides of those bets. It's easy to be like Celtics 4-0, Celtics 4-1. I don't think there's a lot of evidence that that's going to happen. If you consider the level of opponent that they had in those past two series and how injured they were, and they still lost the game in each of those series, like they lost. They nearly lost two against the Cavs, right? Without Donovan Mitchell twice. So not a great look for the Celtics here. And I think that's going to jump up and bite them in the ass. Like they need to come together more in these games. And oh, by the way, in game one, I'm not betting the Celtics -10.5. If anything, I'd side with the Pacers. I would lean Indiana in game one for now. Okay, the Timberwolves and the Dallas Mavericks. And I really thought I was going to be saying Mavericks and Nuggets. But I'm saying Mavericks and Timberwolves. And what an impressive response in the second half by the Minnesota Timberwolves, who were down double digits again. I think as much as 13 or 15 points at Denver. And that entire game was kind of a microcosm of that series, right? Like Denver, more buttoned up, probably better prepared. They have more experience, more confidence. They come out, they dominate early. Jokic looks great. Jamal Murray's nailing three threes in the first quarter. But the resolve of Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert and that whole lineup was just so impressive to me. And there were moments like when it was tied at a certain point in the third quarter, you're just thinking to yourself, oh, the Timberwolves are going to win this game. They're going to win. Like they just had that momentum, that belief, right? Like, and the Nuggets couldn't stop them. I mean, the concern about Minnesota is their offense. That's been the concern all year. It hasn't been very good. I mean, pretty average, really, by a lot of NBA standards. But even when Anthony Edwards was struggling, who I said on VSiN earlier, or on Sunday, I believe I was on the show, I said, I think it's going to take like a Michael Jordan-like performance from Anthony Edwards to win that game seven at Denver. Not true at all. They held the Denver Nuggets to 90 points at home. What, 37 points in the second half? I mean, that's incredible. 14 points in the third quarter. And it's their defense, right? It was their defense, and it was Anthony Edwards creating opportunities, creating space for his colleagues out there. And what a fantastic job by them. I mean, when Rudy Gobert nailed that fadeaway shot, as Anthony Edwards said, like, yeah, we knew we probably got him at that point. Like, yeah, like if Rudy Gobert is nailing like MJ fadeaways, not a lot is going wrong for you, right? And the Timberwolves, man, when they get on that train of belief, they are really, really hard to stop. I saw that in the regular season against, you know, Denver, actually, right? Like when they start going, they are very cohesive. And we saw a great segments of action from Karl Anthony Towns, like unbelievable defense against Jokic a few times, ridiculously impressive shot-making ability, you know, crashing the rim, dunking some of those missed shots by his teammates in those final seconds too. I think there was a dunk that he had off the rim when they were only up by five and they kind of needed to keep on surging ahead or, you know, staying ahead. Karl Anthony Towns answered the call. Answered the call more than Anthony Edwards in a lot of those situations. And for all the slack, all the shit that Rudy Gobert gets, I should say flack, not slack. We don't give Rudy Gobert any slack. All the flack that Rudy gets, he stepped up too. Had a very solid game seven. I mean, 13 points, 9 rebounds, obviously plays a lot of defense. You know, nailed a few free throws. Like, he was 7 for 9 from the free throw line. I mean, if he can hit free throws and just be a defensive threat and not crowd the middle, take up space, he's going to be great. This is going to be a really interesting series, though. And you look at the Dallas Mavericks and where they're priced right now. If I look at this website where it lists a bunch of sports books, I'm seeing 535 plus 535 on Dallas to win. A bookmaker plus 500 at most shops for Dallas to win. I think that's way too big. Those odds are way too large, way too valuable. Because the Dallas Mavericks have proven now, time and time again, really, that not only are Kyrie and Luka a great marriage, a great duo together, like they have figured it out, they respect each other, they make each other better, they're talking about each other's families. Like, that's a buy sign on the Dallas Mavericks when they're two stars who, when, you know, Kyrie first came to the Mavericks and he was admitting it, he wasn't at a great place, right? Going through a lot of personal stuff, a lot of controversy. You know, from his time with the Nets, you know, he was a part of that, or he was like a part of a film or had something to say about a film that was like anti-Semitic or, you know, something like that. I mean, he was just putting his foot in his mouth a lot, you know, not a fan favorite, but boy, has he turned into this like humble, you know, egoless, selfless player, sometimes too selfless on the court. He's like trying to pass the ball all the time. Kyrie was not trying to pass the ball as much in game seven, or was it game six for the Mavericks, which is even more impressive, right? They closed it out in six. He wasn't trying to pass the ball as much because he shouldn't, you know, like in those situations, Kyrie should be shooting the ball and he got some unbelievable shots up. Didn't always fall. I mean, the rim was not treating him very well. A lot of around the rim and out. But Kyrie, when he turns it on, is almost impossible to stop. He's going to get to the rim. We all know how good Luka is. And they got guys now like PJ Washington who can nail threes all day, all night. Daniel Gafford is playing out of his mind, right? Like, guys like Kyrie Irving are giving him the ball. They're trusting him with the ball, creating shots for him. Like, these kind of things really build team chemistry, and they build the unification of the team out there, everybody being positive and believing in each other. And you're hearing Kyrie talk about that in the locker room, about how affirmative everybody's been of each other, all these positive thoughts and affirmations. Like, these things, these intangibles matter more than any other stat or data point or, you know, all that shit, right? Because we know how talented they are. We've seen how well they can play defensively. I mean, Jason Kidd, like, the jury's out. Jason Kidd knows how to coach up a defense, because while they might not play great defense throughout the season, like a lot of teams don't, they do play great defense at the end of the season and in the playoffs. This is two seasons in a row that we've seen it, and it's been really, really impressive in the playoffs. I mean, they were straight up stymieing is probably not a word, but they would stymie OKC every time it looked like the Thunder were going to go on one of those surges. It just didn't happen. Dallas had the answer. And a lot of it is just effort, right? We're seeing that even from Luka, like even from Kyrie, who's obviously undersized, might have to take on Anthony Edwards. Not going to be easy. And, you know, Minnesota has a lot of size advantages here, right? Like, Dallas really doesn't have a front court. I mean, Daniel Gafford is okay, you know. Derek Lively, the second, is coming into his own. He's a good little player, but they don't have, like, a formidable front court that you would fear. You know, the Minnesota Timberwolves do, right? The Twin Towers, they got Naz Reid coming off the bench. Like, it's going to be size and physicality against a team like Dallas, who can be just as stingy on defense, a lot of scoring talent, but they're smaller, right? They are smaller, thinner. You know, Derek Jones Jr., Derek Lively, thin guys, young guys, but they can pull together when they need to, and it's just been really impressive. Tim Hardaway is back, too. He hasn't looked that great. They haven't played him that much, but he might be crucial for them. I mean, you have to lean towards Minnesota winning this series, and that's why you're seeing some of these, you know, odds and lines so much in their favor. But that doesn't mean that the Dallas Mavericks can't win. And the Dallas Mavericks, with Luka, who just seems like the kind of guy who's going to win a championship, right? Like, when he gets his head down with how big he is, he can't be stopped. I mean, we really haven't seen any defensive player in the NBA stop him when he's in rhythm, you know, when he gets going. He's going to have some games where it doesn't happen. That's probably the games that Dallas loses. But Dallas is always going to have a chance with Luka and Kyrie, even more so, and even more so if they keep on playing that defense. I don't think it's a bad idea to take a shot, maybe half a unit on the Mavericks to win 2.5 to win the series. I think they're absolutely going to win a few games. I think this either goes to 6 or 7. As impressive as Minnesota has been, and they've been very impressive, they could come into this next series a little overconfident, right? A little too fat and sassy, because really the accomplishment might feel like it's already been done. It's already been accomplished. They beat the Nuggets. They got past the Nuggets. I would look at two of these dogs, Dallas Mavericks, Indiana Pacers in Game 1, and I would look for them in the series too. This is not going to be easy sledding for the Celtics or Minnesota, especially because, let's remind ourselves, while Boston is clearly the number one team in the NBA, they've been that way all season. Their net rating is number one. Their offense and defense is top five. Like, it's not a debate that they should win the NBA title, right? But it ain't going to be easy. And Minnesota, on the other hand, wasn't even the number one seed. They've had some up and down moments this season during the playoffs. Now, number one defense in the NBA, that makes a big difference. And they're going to need it against the superstars of Dallas. But I would not count this Dallas Mavericks team out. I think they are going to keep on surprising us. And I don't think Minnesota quite knows what they have coming at them in Dallas. Like, Dallas is a little more impressive, I think, than what a team like Minnesota might think. Of course, Minnesota has the home court advantage. I wouldn't really give a huge advantage coaching-wise. I like Jason Kidd. I like Chris Finch. You know, both sides are going to be well-coached. They're going to be stingy on defense. I would look for more unders in that series, and I would also look for overs in the Celtics and Pacers series in general. That should be, especially at Indiana, there should be some fast-paced games. Maybe look at Game 2 to be a more fast-paced game. Boston probably wins Game 1, but maybe Indiana keeps it close. But then Indiana is going to come back with more fire and more pace and tempo. So it should be two interesting series. Look at the underdogs more than the favorites, in my opinion. We will be back next week, and we're going to start talking NFL football. Probably have some free tennis picks, UFC picks, maybe WNBA picks. Always follow me at Farley Betts. Look at sportswagers.ca or sportswagers.live is where we write up our free picks. Sometimes we have free video picks over there as well. You can catch me on the BetUS NBA show until the end of the season. You can see me on VSiN sometimes. I'm all over the place, boys and girls. Thank you for listening to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. We'll be back next week. Good to be back. See you next time. Let's win some damn money.